Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going down?
I'm all right, thanks. Very much enjoyed a lot of... I mean, there's so many people in Japan at the moment, and they're all kind of sending me stuff, and it's lovely. It's bloody lovely, to be quite frank. So thank you very much to... I mean, it's mainly coolish. It is main, it's mainly... somebody sent me an actual cool video where, it was Prince Phoenix, I believe. For 3 years, we've heard from Mr. Pete Donaldson and Abroad in Japan about how amazing coolish was. Chris is very much agnostic as to whether Coolish is any good. But some live reactions.
Oh, God. You've got a video of it.
Okay. So we are in Nara, Mr. Pete Donaldson and Chris Broad, and we decided to get some Coolish. And we've had it before, my partner Anthony and myself. This is my best friend Sean. It's his first time. So we're going to film his reaction, see what he thinks.
Anthony, Sean, and Prince Phoenix in a shop, and they are all trying Coolish at the same time. And it's just like, lads on tour, we're all doing shots of Coolish.
Shots of Coolish.
Oh, my God.
Thanks for the recommendation.
The best. Thanks for the recommendation. You're welcome, team. They're in Nara and they're enjoying a little bit of Coolish. I'll make sure that that's on the audio. But they're Nara. Having a lovely time. And so they're in Nara and they're having some Coolish.
I'm annoyed. Nara's like a cultural capital of Japan. You've got Buddhas, you've got temples, you've got deer that bow, and they're just like sitting in a park. Drinking, sipping on the cheapest, tackiest ice cream the world has ever known. Honestly.
Nice.
It's disgraceful.
Nice.
Anything more disgraceful is what I had for dinner. I was in a bit of a hurry tonight, and I ordered McDonald's, and I feel awful. I had so much McDonald's. Do you know when you're hungry, and you're like, I'll just order everything. And you just keep ordering more and more.
I ordered a double
cheeseburger. I ordered... the chicken nuggets. I ordered the shake chicken, which is chicken that you shake some disgusting cheese powder over.
Oh, some dust. Yeah. So just a bit of dirty dust.
It is awful. And
fantastic,
I don't know about you, but when I eat McDonald's or something salty, I get like really weirdly puffy and I feel weird. Do you get that, or am I just allergic to food? What's
you
wrong
might
with
be me? Intolerant. You might be absolutely doing yourself a disservice. Doing yourself... some rough justice by eating it. Yeah, I mean, to be fair, didn't you have McDonald's that had like a football?
I did.
Quite recently, so,
I do have McDonald's a bit too much. I'm being healthy. I'm getting healthy. I'm 81 kilograms now. That's quite good for me.
Right.
I'm on the decline into... my weight's on the decline, rather. I'm doing good. But, yeah, I regret having the McDonald's. Why'd I do it? The good thing is, though, when you eat these things and you regret it, you remember that. You remember that. And I'll remember this at least another 2 or 3 days. We've got a story this week from Anna from Costa Rica and Daniel from Spain. Hello, Chris and Pete. I just got back from my second trip to Japan. My friend and I did the Shimonami Kaido cycle over a couple of days on e-bikes. Highly recommend it for anyone out of shape. We also spent time in Osaka, Nara, Kobe, Himeji, Takayama, Tokyo. I noticed that for the most part, everyone was very polite, nodding at us as a greeting or acknowledgement. And in many cases, very interested in learning more about us and our visit to Japan. A lady we met on the side of the road in Inoshima gave us fruit from her citrus tree and cheered us on. In Himeji, a restaurant owner posted a picture of us on Twitter as their first foreign customers. The exception, seemed to be in Tokyo. No one made eye contact with anyone else. I saw two girls fall over in different locations and people just walked on by. What the hell? While each girl profusely apologised for inconvenience others by falling, it left me wanting to spend less time in Tokyo and more time in other prefectures. Do you think this is different? Related to COVID, since the people we spoke to outside of Tokyo hadn't seen any foreigners in a while? Or is Tokyo really that different culturally from the rest of Japan? Anna from Costa Rica, Daniel from Spain. Hope you have a good, lovely time, guys. That is quite the itinerary. And yes, look, I would say Tokyo, while everything goes on in Tokyo, all your friends are there, everyone has to go through it, all the good stuff always happens not in Tokyo. Osaka, Nara, Kobe, like all these places, I can think of so many great experiences. Even though I've been to like Kobe once or twice, or Takayama three times, I can remember those experiences really well because lots of great things happen there. Like locals, I remember like having almost a date with this girl in Kobe that I met in a bar once. That was fun. And a date with a girl I met in Osaka. And it's just dating girls that I met in these places. Many years ago, might I add, we're talking like fucking almost a decade ago, when I was a fit young man, and the world was at my feet. Not anymore. And there's all sorts of good stuff, and it always happens outside of Tokyo. People are known in Tokyo for being a bit more sort of cold and sort of, they're not that bad. It's not as bad as people make out. But compared to somewhere like Osaka, where people literally approach
like Kobe.
You. You what?
Sounds like Kobe stands for kiss on boobies.
Pete Donaldson's back.
K-O-B-E.
Donaldson's back.
Thank you. Back in the room, guys.
I'm glad you didn't say that. I've only made one video in Kobe and Pete Donaldson was in it. And thank fuck you didn't say that in the video.
We were in the... Why were we in... I shouldn't recall. There's that big kind of square in Kobe where there's that big ship-shaped hotel. It's not a ship.
Yes.
It looks like a big cruise ship, but it's a hotel. And we were sat and we were doing a piece to camera, but I can't remember why we were doing a piece to camera. It must have been the Wagyu steak episode, but I can't remember why we were outside a Kiseten, a Starbucks or whatever, drinking coffees and just sort of staring into the camera. I can't remember why we were doing
that. That was the opening of the video, Pete. That was the first, like, 2 minutes of the video. We were like, we need to film somewhere. Like, whenever you film a video, you always try and film somewhere that, you know, looks like the place, right? And for Kobe, we picked, I think, Kobe Tower or Kobe Park, and...
Right.
Yeah. I remember you found something really weird in the toilet and you were like, I found some artwork on the toilet wall. It was funny. Ha ha ha. I remember that vaguely. I haven't watched that video in a long time. It was fun though. I enjoyed that video. I remember when we were trying to film that, walking down the streets of Kobe, and every restaurant's like, Kobe beef, it's here. It's here. For 1,000 yen. And it's like, that's not Kobe beef. That's just beef that's in Kobe. You sneaky fuckers. Yes. There's always people getting scammed in Kobe.
There's a lot of that, yeah.
You've got to do your homework. Got to do your homework. Go to where Pete and I went. I don't remember what it was called. I think it's in the link of the video. But it was very, very good indeed. But yeah, no, not COVID, just Tokyo. But enjoy your trip, Anna. Enjoy your trip, Daniel. Well done on doing literally the best itinerary ever. Sounds really good. What's going on, though, in Japan this week? Mr. Donaldson, what is the news of the week?
Oh, well, you know me.
Indeed.
I'm a city guy. I like to get from point A to point B as quick as possible. And at the end, I want to have a big coffee. Because I'm a city guy. Doing city things. Nagoya... Your friend and mine, Nagoya, your favourite part of Japan, Chris.
Oh, I like it now. I drove through it like
a month ago.
It's got some trees.
Heel turn on Nagoya, or rather a volte face. Nagoya is going to be banning people from walking or running on escalators.
Walking? Banned on walking? What the... Yeah. No.
So, it's going to be the first major urban area to pass on ordinance that bans walking or running on escalators at train stations and retail establishments. Basically saying, if you want to run down the fucking escalators, if you want to do whatever you want to do quickly, move to Tokyo. Nagoya is fucking chill, baby. It's, yeah, the move is aimed at preventing mishaps on escalators, especially with the greying of the population and the planned holding of the Asian Games here in 2026. That's what I like about Japan. They're not scared about, you know, the economy. They're not scared about the impending rising sea levels. They're not scared about climate change or, I don't know, terrorism. They're scared about people falling down escalators in a games that's going to happen in 4 years' time.
It's fantastic stuff. Jesus.
No, Nagoya City government officials have said that no penalties will be imposed on those who choose not to stand still on escalators, but they are considering obligating those who operate escalators to spread awareness of the ordinance as well as to distribute posters and stickers with that objective in mind. It's a sort of kind of like direction that probably would work in Japan quite uniquely compared to everywhere else. Because, like, people do kind of have a holistic kind of feeling to do the right thing, to do the acceptable thing. So there's a lot of, like, shame, embarrassment in the culture. So maybe a government initiative like this might work in the industrial town of Nagoya.
It just seems a bit excessive, does it not? I mean, I don't know. Yeah. It just seems a bit controlling. But then, you know, Japan's a bit like that. Like, students in schools have to have their hair dyed, well, have to have their hair black. They can't change the colour and they have to wear certain uniforms. And I don't know, it feels like one step too far. But, you know, it feels like there's some sort of ulterior motive. Do they really care that much about the elderly here? Because if they did, they would take their driver's license away. There was there was someone, I think they were 95, and they ran over and killed about five people in Fukushima City 2 days ago.
Right.
And it's just so elderly drivers. There's so much chaos on the roads at the moment.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? Take
their licenses.
With a lot of countries around the world, the elderly vote still counts. So you'll vote for a certain thing because it protects your interests.
True.
It's all of this stuff affects people who aren't elderly, effectively, isn't it? So a lot of these kind of things are going, don't do that because you might hurt an elderly person, and they are our base.
Well, it's like 125 Nagoya residents, right, taken to hospital due to accidents. The population of Nagoya, I think it's something like, I'm going to say like 5 million plus, maybe.
Yeah,
might be bigger than that.
And are all of these accidents even kind of related to people running up and down escalators? Really,
it's probably someone fucking spilling their Koolish all down the escalator because it's stupid fucking Koolish. Last time I had a Koolish ice cream, right? I opened it; it had melted in the sun. I opened it; it literally exploded all over my seat, all the way over the steering wheel, all over my face.
Cool.
Should be banned. They should be banned outright.
Sounds like a cool, exciting snack. You never know what's going to happen. Cool, exciting.
Well, like a fucking plastic explosive. Awful. Awful. I mean, 125 residents in hospital. 5 million people probably walking around the city on any given day, riding around escalators. That's a pretty good statistic, is it not? Like, to enforce a sweeping rule like that on such small numbers, it does feel a little bit silly. Does it not? Does it not, Pete?
It does a little bit.
Help me out.
It does a little bit.
That's right.
It does a little bit.
That's right. Too many rules. Too many rules, Pete. We need less rules. More freedom. Yeah, I don't know. But anyway.
Just a man in a room saying we need more. Fewer rules and more freedom.
I just got back from this wacky weekend trip with Connor, filming all sorts of stuff in Kyushu. And
I'd like to impose more rules on that, actually.
Connor did a Twitch IRL stream, right, in real life stream, around Fukuoka. Yep. We had a lot of fun, actually. And one of the bars we found was a airsoft gun bar where you can order your drinks.
That.
And you get a big booklet filled with, like, 50 guns. And you're like,
I think I might have gone to that one in Fukuoka, actually. I mean, there's loads of them
around.
There's
a few,
I think Fukuoka, yeah. It's like,
this is really
there's
good.
The main bit of the bar, and then they've just got round the corner, they've just got this big, long kind of shooting gallery.
That's right, yeah. It's pretty surreal. Because I'd ordered, we sort of walked in, we're like, Namabiru, like one draft beer on a guy shmas. Namabiru and AK-47, Kudasai. M16 carbine, M4 carbine on a guy shmas.
They love airsoft out there. Can't figure it out.
Connor got the grenade launcher, and it was like $50 a shot. because Connors is just Muppet. And he fired it, and it was like a firecracker, and like 500 fucking BBs flew out across the bar. And that's what freedom is, firing an airsoft gun, drink in hand, airsoft gun in the other, shooting up a target. That's freedom. I don't know how it got from people falling down an escalator to firing guns in Fukuoka, but
yeah,
that's what everyone in Nagoya should get, a free airsoft gun, and they can shoot people with it who get in their way. That's what I'd enforce.
Well,
that's my rule.
What if you catch an elderly person? What if you catch an elderly person in the eye?
I mean,
in their glaucoma eye?
Well, then that'll make them monkey busters, wouldn't it? I wish monkey busters. That was the greatest news story we've had in 4 years of doing the podcast. And they never, that was it. They sort of disappeared, monkey busters.
Yeah.
Do you think I could do a documentary on it? What was it, like five elderly women in Fukui Prefecture who had monkeys invading their fruit farm? They got airsoft guns and fought the monkeys away and shot the monkeys with BB pellets, which is, you know, far safer than a rifle or whatever. I think that's a documentary. That's an Abroad in Japan original.
Well, it's like my life, because I feel my dog, Buckley, who died a while ago, I've spoken about it before, he used to run around the garden chasing the birds away from the garden. So now...
Bird busters.
The dog man of the house isn't there. I feel duty bound to continue his fine work.
With a machine gun.
Shout, throw rocks at the birds. Because I just think it's, you know, I think it's nice to continue the tradition of not allowing birds to shit all over the garden.
Throw rocks at the birds like Buckley would have done.
Exactly.
That's what Buckley would have wanted.
Swear.
Oh, no, I think Monkey Busters could be birds. Like a fucking good documentary, though. Like, justice
we've
in the hands
all the monkeys,
of the law.
They haven't come back. Yeah, exactly.
Sayonara, Saru-san. It was so good. Because Saru means monkey.
What's Japanese for the word? What's the word in Japanese for monkey?
Saru.
Saru. Yeah. Ah.
So, sayonara Saru. It'd be like, goodbye, monkeys.
Goodbye, monkeys.
There's a place in Fukui where the women don't take shit. That'd be well good. I'm going to do that.
That's a solution to everything, ma'am. Shooting stuff. I don't want a cup of tea with airsoft pellets in. Rubbish.
That'd be well good. I'm going to do that. I'll do that next year. If they still exist, or if they're still alive, because that was like 4 years ago now. Hopefully they are. Long live Monkey Busters. We'll be back in just a moment, guys, with your stories, comments, and questions in the fax machine.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back. What do we got this week in the fax machine from our listeners? Mr. Dawson.
We got a message from the other American Jake. Hello, Poverty Representative Pete and Colonial Chris.
Colonial Chris? We're from the same country, Donaldson and I. He's as colonial as I am, if not more so.
Terrible man. My name is Jake from the state of West Virginia. I'll admit that I'm a little bit embarrassed when these new tourists are on the train and doing nothing but basically screaming while talking to their friends and whatnot. What experiences, if any, do you have in the past 2 years when you were actually embarrassed for other foreigners who came to Japan and made absolute fools of themselves, the other American Jake? The story we heard last show was with that man just firing off... what do you call it, fireworks on the Shibuya Scramble Crossing. Whenever anything stupid like that happens, I do sort of look and go, is he home radicalised? When it's not a gaijin, I do go, good. We're not adding to the issues.
I'm working on a video at the moment about things I hate in Japan, and one of them is the Mario Kart thing in Tokyo where people can...
It's back, isn't it?
It's back. It's called Street back. Car. It used to be called Mari Kart. They got sued to buggery by Nintendo. I think $500,000 because, you know, it was called Mari Kart and the people were dressed up like Luigi when they ran over fucking half the street and crashed into places. And indeed, they did crash into my favourite fish and chip shop in Roppongi. Malin's, good fish and chip shop. They crashed into it.
But that's the thing, I don't understand why they're allowed to do it when, again, the Japanese are so risk averse. They don't need any excuse to limit the liberties of foreigners. How are they allowing this? Like, why is allowing a tiny little go-kart to hammer around a road? It just seems absolutely insane.
You know, it sounds like fun, doesn't it? The idea of going around Tokyo on a go-kart, having, you know, wind in your hair and whatnot. But Tokyo is fucking insane to drive through. Speaking from experience driving a car, it's not a city you want to drive through, let alone on a go-kart on the floor, basically, going around in between lorries and trucks in the busiest city on earth. It's just not fun. And well, it probably is fun, but like, it's just not safe, and it's only a matter of time before something happens again. And in my video, what I sort of say is the reason I don't like them is not only are they dangerous, but I don't think people are prepared to drive through Tokyo necessarily, but also the only people that do it are foreigners, right? And so, you know, there's this horrible sort of moment where you're like walking through a nice quiet place in Tokyo and all of a sudden you hear and then like 20 six or seven fucking go-karts come past with foreigners dressed like cheap Mario or Luigi, because they can't have licensed clothing. They have to wear like weird like rip-off versions of the Mario cast, and you know, it's just not fun. It's loud, it's annoying, something's gonna go wrong, and not a fan of it. So that's the main time that I don't like foreigners in Japan. And there's so many better ways to see Tokyo. I'm thinking bicycle, you know, see the city at a much more pleasant pace, you know. Yeah, I feel like an old man ranting about this. Well, you should be having fun. You should be having fun, the young folks. They should be fucking building a chimney. I don't know. But anyway, fucking Mario Kart. Pete Dawson's going to do it now to spite me when he comes over. He's going to drive around.
I've got a driving license now. I can.
Oh, he's going to do it. And I'm going to have to kill him.
Yeah. We got one here from Chris. My car is already like a go-kart. Oh. My Fiat. was going to say my FIFA 500. My Fiat 500. It's World Cup FIFA. I got World Cup FIFA.
The FIFA 500. Hello, Chris and Pete. I was wondering if Chris would maybe come up with different names for his videos if he didn't have to appease the YouTube algorithm. Are there any videos that he has already done that he was dying to name something else, but the machine doesn't allow for it? Thank you very kindly. Sylvia from Ottawa, Canada. Yes, Sylvia, I despise the algorithm. Honestly, I would call, like, Journey Across Japan. I'll just call it Journey Across Japan Escape to Paradise would be the title of the video, right? As opposed to, I rented a boat in Okinawa, whatever it was. I rented a nice boat, $800,000 boat, whatever it was. Even though it only cost like $1,000 to rent.
It's a nice bit of branding. Nice bit of branding, the whole escape.
Or Wacky Weekend. I'd be like, Wacky Weekend Kyushu Edition. But you can't do that. Yeah. And I get lectured, I get people angrily, you know, people that like everyone in Japan saying, Crush, I hate you and your clickbait titles. Don't hate me. Hate the game. Hate the YouTube algorithm. I don't like doing it. I have to do it. It's as simple as that. The reason the third episode of the Journey Across Japan 4 series bombed in Okinawa is because it was called something like I Hurt Myself in Okinawa. I didn't do anything clickbaity. The first video was clickbait. It won. It got like 1.5, 1.6 million views. And in fact, my first Okinawa video 4 or 5 years ago, it was called something like 48 Hours in Okinawa, and it did really badly because no one, unfortunately, gives a toss about Okinawa inherently. It just doesn't get the click-throughs. So by calling it something like I rented Japan's $800,000 boat, we got the click-through rate, people watched the video, and people saw that Okinawa's cool. So, you know, as long as I get people through the door, it's like making a shop front that is slightly misleading or slightly too shiny on the front.
Free beer.
Free beer. And then you come inside and you get a free beer, but you've got to have one of my omelets. You've got to eat my omelet. Now, my omelet's not very good.
It took a weird turn.
Yeah, it took a weird analogy. all right, how would you finish that analogy?
Weird omelet.
How would you finish it?
So it's a speakeasy. Come in and buy a pet. And then, you know, downstairs it's a speakeasy.
Now,
selling the very best liquor.
Omelets, Pete, omelets. We got one here from Brian, who says, hello, Adonis Chris and English Pete. From where I'm from, when having sushi or sashimi, most locals put a dollop of wasabi in either the corner of the soy sauce saucer or mix the wasabi thoroughly in the soy sauce. The sushi sashimi is then dipped into said saucer. Is this considered rude in Japan when Japanese chefs look at me in disdain if I didn't conform? Cheers, guys. Brian, what do you think?
I don't know. I mean, because, again, like, it depends on if it's good proper wasabi, because a lot of them is just food colouring in horseradish, isn't it?
But Yeah.
I would say that they'd probably say that not mixing it is the thing to do. Just do what you want, though. Like, no one really cares. Again, it's like going back to an email we had last time. Just, nobody cares, don't worry.
Nobody cares.
Unless you're fucking spilling it all over the floor or ordering too much food and leaving a load. Like, no one's going to be particularly offended if you sort of mix a bit of wasabi and a bit of soy sauce. Do what you want.
You'd be such a shit Santa. Santa, I want to get a bicycle. Do what you fucking want. Fuck off.
Do what you want, mate.
Get off my knee. Yeah. My knee fucking hurts.
Have I been good? Have I been bad? I don't care. Do what you want.
Have I been good or bad? Fuck off, I don't care. I honestly, the only time anyone would care would probably be at Jiro Sushi, you know, the 3 Michelin star restaurant that's in the documentary. Yeah. Overrated. Yeah. But anyway, like sushi restaurants where the chef is super duper controlling, like, over the fish and the way it's prepared and presented, they would care. Like, going to a restaurant, because they usually dab on the soy sauce with a brush on a thin sort of layer across the top of the fish, and the wasabi's tucked underneath the slice of fish. And they would probably wince a bit if you were like, wasabi, yeah, and just chuck a load of crap. But for the most part, in most sushi restaurants, yeah, you would get some soy sauce, you would dip a little bit of wasabi in maybe, and tip the sushi upside down, off you go. Just remember the one rule, golden rule, the only thing you need to remember when you go to a sushi restaurant: do not dip the rice into the soy sauce. That is the worst thing. Japanese TV, I can't remember if I said this, when foreigners came back to Japan, like a few sort of, well, it was a month ago now, 2 months, whatever it was, when foreigners came back, one of the first TV shows I saw was like, foreigners back in Japan, Sugoi but look, they can't eat sushi. And it was a shot of two, I think, white Western folks sitting at a sushi restaurant, and one of them picked up the sushi, stuck it in the soy sauce with the wasabi, rice down, and had just left it there for 5 minutes until the rice had sort of soaked all the soy sauce through and it was crumbling apart. And there was a shot of like 10 people in the studio losing their fucking minds. It's like, having a stroke.
They had made an absolute shit state of that. So, like, the rice was in bits. Like,
it was awful.
But as soon as you start to lose whole integrity of the sticky rice, you're fucked. Absolutely.
You are.
Just leave it.
You are.
Throw it on the floor. Just go, I'm sorry, I cannot deal with this. I'm hitting the control alt delete. I'm restarting.
Oh,
give me
man.
Some more sushi.
I did a video with Ryota for the first time in a while the other day, and it was a video at a sushi restaurant, one of Japan's biggest sushi restaurant chains, and we had to eat all the sushi on the menu, and I felt so damn awful.
Heavy.
It's so heavy, honestly. Nobody deserves to eat that much rice. People forget that sushi's not fish, it's rice, right? Sushi is like the rice. It's called shadi, the rice, and there's a little bit of fish on top, but it's basically just vinegar rice. And I ate that for an hour, and then I had to keep going for another 30-40 minutes, and I was literally like trying not to pass out from the astonishing blood sugar rush. It was like smoking some sort of unsavory drug, which I won't name.
Yeah,
weed. But it was honestly like drugs. It was really bizarre. And all the staff are watching me as we're filming it. It was very uncomfortable. Good video that.
Well, look,
quality content.
But you didn't absolutely destroy the rice. That's the main thing. You didn't absolutely ruin the rice.
I did not.
It didn't fall a bit in your hands. So,
I absolutely did not. And if you're wondering how to eat sushi in Japan, guys, check out my video called What It's Like to Run a Sushi What It's Like to Own a Sushi Restaurant from 2 years ago.
Get It In Your Gob.
Yeah.
It's called Get It In Your Gob.
It's a good video, that. We interviewed the chef and he sort of talks about like what he thinks is the best way to eat sushi, how not to eat sushi. And that was a really good video. Really proud of that one. Go and check it out. And you'll learn all you need to know about the world of sushi, as well as the one coming out very soon with Ryota and I stuffing our faces. But for now, guys, keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week to do all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be, out in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days. And we'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad in Japan podcast. Bye for now.
Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.